Hey everyone, welcome into another episode of Investing in Real Estate. I'm Clayton Morris. Thank you so much for subscribing to the show. I'm really excited about today's show, and I get excited about these case study episodes because it wasn't too long ago that I was just starting in the investing world, and I can totally relate to new investors who maybe just have their first property, their second property, or even their third property. Today, my guest on the show is Jeremy Butel. We only spoke maybe a few months ago, and now I believe has three properties under his belt. He is in California, which is a brutal place to try to invest. So that's how we connected for the very first time. We wanted to get Jeremy on the show to talk about how he started in real estate investing, how he got up and running with his business, how he structured his LLCs or his personal business and tax purposes, and all of those things we will talk about on today's show. So joining me from Studio City, California, mild stomping ground is Jeremy. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Clayton. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, it's a real treat to have you on. And one of the things you said to me before the show is, well, hey, man, I'm just getting started here. So I'm new to all of this. But that's exactly why I want to have you on the show. So how new are you into real estate?
Well, I think I started speaking with you back in February of this year. And really before that, I probably picked up my first serious, my first books maybe around November of last year, just really starting to take the plunge. I mean, I was inspired by, you know, some information that I had come across before that, but that's really when I took my first plunge into it.
Let's rewind a little bit. So what kind of career are you in? What field are you in?
Well, I work in the film industry. Been doing, you know, work in the film industry for maybe about 15 years now.
Great. So would you say that people in the entertainment industry, because I used to live in Los Angeles, and would you say that those people are good with their money? Are they thinking about passive income and creating legacy wealth?
Oh, wow. That's thinking about other people. That's a good question. My peers around me, I don't get the sense that they're really thinking too much about real estate and investments. I think they're kind of mostly going down the traditional route of investment, you know, using the 401k and things like that. But I really can't speak for them, but that'd probably be my main assumption.
Well, what made you decide to take? I mean, California's a very difficult area to try to acquire rental properties to get into real estate. And I know I speak to a lot of California investors who just frankly just get frustrated. You know, I mean, my mother-in-law just bought a property through us, and she lives in the San Francisco area, and she can't believe like just how ridiculously overpriced things are in that area. So, what made you decide to take the plunge, and tell us about that first deal?
Really, it goes into really searching for quite some time, you know, some vehicle to, you know, really realistically reach my goals, and wanting to really give myself some independence and allow myself to, you know, reach for some of my other goals that I'm not really, you know, able to do in my regular employment. So, you know, real estate really seemed like the right way to do that. But as far as the first deal, I read Brandon Turner's the book on rental property investing, and really got me excited. Started looking around, and I started to crunch the numbers here in California. And I'm like, wait a minute, this feels like this is a completely different different country. Like, well, I don't know, what is he talking about? It doesn't really make sense here. And so I got a little discouraged, but I told my wife I'd really like to set a goal, you know, within 6 months to acquire a property. Didn't know how that was going to happen. So I started looking just outside of Los Angeles, thinking, you know, maybe some of the lower priced areas might work. And they didn't really make sense to me either. And you know, my mind was really primed looking for information. And I was listening to a lot of podcasts on Bigger Pockets specifically. And I was looking for something that might work. And I saw your podcast, you know, you were talking about how you were investing all over the country, and that really fascinated me. Like, well, he's doing this, so maybe he has some insight. And, you know, you offered to, you know, really, you know, answer some questions just on a phone call. So, you know, we spoke that one time, and you answered a lot of my questions. And that's kind of where, what gave me the confidence to move forward and acquire property outside of California.
So we got that first property. I'm curious if you could rewind and kind of go back into your head back in February, the questions mm-hmm. that you had, the things that you were talking about with your wife, you know, some of the fears, anxieties, you know, things that you had written down on a legal notepad that you wanted to ask and overcome. Obviously, California was really difficult for you. You read Brandon's book. And Brandon, by the way, was a guest on the podcast. If you want to go back into the archives and listen to Brandon Turner's interview, he had just at the time when we had him on the show acquired his 50th property. So it was great to have Brandon on. That was episode seven here of this podcast back in the archives. So think back to that legal notepad that you had things jotted down, the ideas that you had, the questions that you had. Take us through some of those the questions in the beginning.
Well, I mean, I was if you if you recall, like what some of my questions were. Well, hey Clayton, can I? You know, what do you think about me coming out, flying out to, you know, Indianapolis, trying to buy a property myself and build a team? I was really seriously looking at doing that, and you kind of explained how I could do that, but you know, there's, you know, having a team that can do that for me is a lot easier, and but I think the idea of just buying a property sight unseen is definitely a great concern for me, or was a great concern for me. And I think it really just comes down to understanding the process, not understanding the process is the biggest fear. You know, all of the paperwork that has to happen. It's not like a push button process like so many people are familiar with. When you buy something online, you know, you swipe a credit card, you get a product in the mail. So, you know, buying a house is a very rough process compared to other things that we're used to. So having you explain how that was going to work would, you know, put a lot of those fears at ease.
Yeah, that's great. And like, it doesn't have to be difficult. I think people are always surprised when we talk to them. They're like, you know, really, it's that easy? It sounds, and the question I always get, it sounds too good to be true. Like, and I've often said to my wife, I'm going to change the name of the company, you know, the subtitle of the company, that it sounds too good to be true. It doesn't have to be, right? If you have a team that takes care of you and puts those things in place. And I've talked to investors in different parts of the country that want to do that in their backyard, maybe want to go to Oklahoma or New Mexico, and they want to kind of build something from scratch. And you absolutely can do that. I think the thing that I remember telling you was, well, just, I want to ask you, you know, what lifestyle do you want? You know, start mm-hmm. from there first. And if that fits into your lifestyle where you want to manage contractors and you want to deal with paint colors and you want to deal with, well, what's the roof like? And we have to deal with that now, the roofer, and oh, there was a storm and all of those pieces that other people could do for you. You know, if you have all that free time, then that's great. But if you don't have that free time, then it's something you probably, you know, probably don't want to do.
Not at all. No, the thought of doing that was definitely, you know, real estate has never really been something that, I've wanted to take on full time. I look at it as more of a vehicle to reach my life goals. And, when I saw that there's an opportunity to not do all those things, when I looked at the numbers and they made sense, you know, the return on investment after costs, the costs involved for property management. Yeah, that's what gave me the confidence to move forward, and it made it seem like the right path to take.
Good, good. Well, tell us about that first house and what did that look like? What did the process look like? And you know, what's the cash flow look like? And you know, I want to hear how you're putting these things together. Did you set up an LLC? Take us through some of those early stage processes that you put in place for your first property.
Pretty straightforward. I mean, it was a single family home, three bedrooms. It has, essentially, it was a rehab property. So, you know, we purchased the property for about $16,000 and about $22,000 rehab on it. So just went through, acquired the property, and then started on the rehab. I think the rehab took maybe a month and a half?
Yeah, that's pretty typical. Yeah, about a month, depending on the weather. And I think we were in the winter time too, so you get like ice storms and that sort of thing. Exactly. So anywhere from four to 6 weeks, something like that.
Yeah, and you know, shortly, I mean, it's pretty much, I called you right about the time I thought it would be done, and sure enough, it was done. You're like, it already has a renter in there. I'm like, I was really impressed by how quickly that went. You know, within a month, I had the first rent check, which is pretty fantastic. So, I talked with my CPA, and he, you know, about putting it into an LLC. Really had no prior experience with that. He kind of swayed me against doing that, being that it was only one property, my first property. Just talking about the taxes involved with that, setting up the LLC, the maintenance of it. So initially, I just went ahead and put an umbrella policy on it. Very inexpensive. I think it was like $170 to cover my primary residence in that property. And now I'm looking to move beyond that, but that seemed adequate for that first step.
Great. So no LLC yet, but that's something you're in the process of putting together for your next. Now you have three properties. Tell us about the other ones.
Yeah, these literally just closed yesterday, actually. So those, now that there's a bit more assets, I've actually hit the limit of what the umbrella policy will cover. And so I'm looking to form my first LLC in Indiana, and I'd like to potentially move all of those assets into that LLC. I believe you mentioned something about maybe kind of around $150,000 worth of assets within one LLC, and it seems like a good rule of thumb for now. I'm kind of seeking advice from my next CPA to really see what to do with that, but.
Right. You're talking about, and we talked about this with Tom Wheelwright on episode 22 and episodes 19 of the podcast. If you haven't listened to the tax episodes with Tom, he is, a tax genius, right. Of course. His company, Provision Wealth, is fantastic. We are not tax accountants here on the show. I don't play one on television, and I'm not an attorney, but that's how we've done it, which is to set up our LLCs in the states where we own our properties. And we're going to do a whole episode on LLCs coming up here shortly, but, where we own our properties, in the states where we own our properties, and up to about $150,000 in value. That means for me, we could put like three properties, if we bought them for 30 or 35 and they're worth 50, 55. So we could probably put about three in one LLC. Mm-hmm. Cause on all of our properties, we like to have a nice chunk of equity in there. So that, and then we start a new LLC, right? So you'd go from those three and then set up a new one. And that's sort of your level of liability protection is just limited to those three properties then. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm still trying to figure all this out. I'm very new to it. I mean, the idea of, forming an LLC is something I need to find out all the details about. But as far as the two properties, I mean, one of them is a duplex and the other is a single family home, which has to be rehabbed as well. And, it went, so far it's gone very smoothly. And I'm really, really excited about where to go to next.
Right. I think the next steps, and this is really important for our listeners to hear, is exactly the way Jeremy did it, right? He took progress, not perfection, right? So you got the first property. Okay, you bought it in your own name. Next step, we bought an umbrella policy. Okay, now let's start to look at some higher level stuff, right? Let's start to think about the LLCs and maybe even a holding company that would sort of, now that you've got multiple properties, maybe a holding company in another state. Then again, we're going to talk about all of this on an upcoming episode. And, LLCs can be scary to people. And I've literally heard from people in emails that this is the one thing that holds people back, setting up an LLC. And it really just breaks my heart because God, it takes 5 minutes to set it up. If you just go to your state's Department of State website, in California, it's brutal. You have to mail stuff in, but you're not setting it up in California. You're setting it up in Indiana. If you set it up in Delaware or you set it up in Nevada or wherever you're setting up your LLCs, you literally can go right through the Department of State's website. That's what they're there for. That's what the Department of State does.
Absolutely. And it looks pretty straightforward.
Yeah, and you just click on the Start New Business tab, and for each state it's different. I think in New Jersey it's a couple $100s. In Indiana it's like $100. In other states it's $80. Pennsylvania it's $150. I've set up LLCs, you can tell, in a lot of different states. So, you pick a name and you type in like your address where your business is located, meaning your home address probably, unless you have an office, and that's it. And they mail you the papers a few weeks later. But your name is now on file. And then the next step is you go over to the IRS website, irs.gov, and get your EIN number. Your employment identification number. And that way, then you can take that EIN number and just walk down to your local bank and set up a bank account for your business. And there you're done. You could literally have that done in the same afternoon. So
yeah,
I just breaks my heart when I hear people get so frustrated or scared by LLCs.
Yeah. I mean, the way I look at it, when we bought the first property, I mean, there are, as far as I'm concerned, there are no guarantees in really anything in life. And, but I think there are a lot more rewards out there if you really are willing to take a few risks occasionally. And, I don't really think this is the most, doing something out of state seems like a very risky thing. But it comes down to, building trust and relationships, and you have to build trust and you have to take risks at times. And I think people, they put money into buying cars and that depreciate by 10 grand when they, roll off the lot, and they invest in, stocks that they really have no financial knowledge of what's actually happening on the other end. And, so doing something like this really, I felt was controlled risk. And the rewards were very worthwhile for me.
Right. So going forward, and you look at your acquisition of properties, what's your overall freedom number? What's your financial freedom number and the goal of properties that you'd like to hit?
Oh, it's kind of evolving. I wish I had the discipline to stick with one number, but really kind of the round number I started with, well, I was just thinking around 15 properties. It's kind of my initial target. I don't really have an exact number, but around 15 properties, I'm estimating should give me the comfort to, really start, moving in the direction I'd like to with my career.
Right. One question I get all the time is, well, what are the risks? What are the risks with rental investing? What are the risks to you? What do you see, problems or potential problems that you try to mitigate?
Well, I'd have to say, one of my biggest concerns, and I always hear about when people buy properties that not really knowing what's on the title and having some sneaky thing come up after you buy the property, you find out there's a lien on the property. But I think that's what we have with title insurance to cover some of that.
Right.
Somebody slipping and falling in your property, but really having the insurance in place, the LLCs. Encapsulating the assets, I think are very good things to have in place. And those are things that give me comfort in the process.
What about the market? Is that something that scares you? Cause I get that question a lot, hey, what if we hit another crash?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, it's a good point you bring. I actually was one of the questions I first asked you about was, is the market, is the market going to go down again? I mean, like we've been seeing just steadily, increasing values, especially here in California. So from my vantage point, I'm like, am I going to invest in a property and in a couple of years it's going to plummet in value? As you've pointed out, the prices in the Midwest, they seem a bit less volatile, looking at historical values of the places. And so that gives me some comfort knowing that, it's not going to, we're not going to see quite the same kind of swings we see here in California.
Right. And at the end of the day, even if you see a little dip in value, you're not selling the property.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
You're holding it and you're cash flowing it. You're not going to lower the rent from $700 a month to $675. You're going to keep it at that same rent level. You're not helping anyone by dropping $25. So, like I say, it's not like New York City or San Francisco where you can have rent. And I witnessed this when I lived in New York City in 2008. You're seeing rents that were, $3,500 a month plummeting to $2,300 a month. Skyscrapers on Wall Street, that's a different animal.
Oh yeah. No, that would definitely not let me sleep well at night.
right. Well, good. I love hearing your story. And I'm thinking about just overall the way you're looking at taxes right now as well, because I think this is an important point that, certainly new investors, they put this last, the tax structuring, and to realize how to mitigate your overall income tax with rental real estate. Have you started to dive in and look at the way that your life is now about to change in 2016 and filing taxes?
I am. I'm just talking with several CPAs right now to really give myself a clear picture of how all of these properties are going to change. And because, some of them were repair values and rehab. So I really don't know what those answers are, and I need some professional advice to help guide me, but I'm absolutely looking. I'm taking it very serious, and I think more than ever, I need more guidance from people that specialize in that.
Right. And that's a great point too, which is, like, I've mentioned this on the podcast, but not being afraid to pay for that proper guidance. Right.
Oh, absolutely.
Sort of willing to admit that, hey, I don't have all the answers here. And if it costs me a few $100 or $1,000 to retain a really good CPA, that's going to change my life and help save thousands of dollars.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I have a CPA that I've been working with. He's a great guy, very smart guy. But he doesn't specialize in real estate. And there are a few questions that I asked him that he just didn't really seem very savvy in. So, you know, I'd love to continue business with him, but I really need people that personally do real estate investment, because there are a lot of nuances to it. And, you know, it's just business and protecting the assets that I'm trying to build and my family. So
that's great. So what's next for you?
Well, I'm really trying to find, like, ways to accelerate acquisition of properties. And, I've reached my limit of acquisition right now with the money that I have, but I'm seriously looking into, you know, private lending, and also taking some of the properties I have right now, refinancing, doing cash out refinances, trying to squeeze out every bit of leverage that I can, and to safely acquire more properties and reinvest that money and continue the cycle.
That's great. That's great. Pulling that money out and just keeping it working for you and keeping it flowing. So you've got three properties. Hopefully the next time we'll talk, you'll have six and then nine. We'll have to do a check-in with you next year and see how things are going.
Yeah, I'll definitely keep pushing. It's very exciting. And I love all the information that comes with seeking and trying to solve new problems. And this has been quite a journey this past year. So,
well, it's all been on you. You know, you could have sat home and not taken action, but you decided to put things into high gear and you made it happen. You set a goal for yourself and that you wanted to get the first property within that 6-month window, and you did it within three. So good for you. Good for you.
Pretty amazing.
That's great. That's great. Well, Jeremy, we really appreciate you joining us on the podcast today. And thanks so much. Sky's the limit to you and your wife, and give my best to the family.
Great. Thank you very much, Clayton.
And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing. If you would like to book a call with our team, we're always willing to jump on the phone and talk to you just like Jeremy. We would love to talk to investors. Just go over to morrisinvest.com. Right there, you'll see the book a call tab and jump on the phone with us. And there's also a podcast tab there as well. So all the things that Jeremy was talking about on today's show, some of the books he was mentioning, like Brandon Turner's book and those other things, will be in the show notes page. So don't worry. We'll have it all right there for you so you can download it when you're not driving. We don't want anyone to get into an accident. So, but give us a call today. We'd love to talk to you about rental real estate. And remember, this show publishes every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And I don't ask for this very often, but if you'd be so kind and you think that this show provides value for you and you wanted to leave a 5-star review for us, I'm not going to complain. Just go over to the iTunes store and click on write a review, and just click on that and write up a little sentence for us. It really helps other people discover the show as we try to bring as much value and content to new investors out there. So much love to all of you. We'll see you back here again with another episode of Investing in Real Estate. Have a great one, everyone. Much love.